Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison here. Glad you're with us on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly is in studio with me, and you know that that means it's Thursday. Time to talk, as always, on this program. A lot of basketball. And Lee, you were with me over the weekend. We had our tournament pairing special on Sunday. Always a fun evening of radio to get to talk with a number of coaches about the drawing and their team. That was fun. Now a lot of the local schools selling tickets. Let's hope that people are getting out and buying those tickets. And that on Friday especially, I know it's hard to get to sectionals on Tuesday, but let's hope that on Friday across the area for some of the good semifinal matchups. I think specifically about where I'll be at. That's at Seymour with the potential for Floyd Central and New Albany. Well, that's, you know, I would be shocked if that doesn't happen. And then likewise, if it's not Bedford and Jeffersonville in the first semifinal that evening, that should just be a terrific day, evening of basketball for, a $6 ticket gets you in, $10 for the entire sectional. So hopefully people are getting out now and getting their tickets, because we always wonder what are the crowds going to be like at Seymour specifically post Romeo Langford's career at New Albany. And when you've got those kind of matchups and some unknown in the sectional, although I think everybody has to admit Floyd Central is the front runner at Seymour, you expect good crowds, and we want to continue that tradition that we've had there. So I know a lot of people curious about that, and you were actually at the ticket draw last night at New Albany High School. You've worked that for many, many years, and New Albany still got enough tickets or near enough tickets to cover season ticket holders, but I don't think the turnout last night was anything like what it was a year ago for the Seymour sectional.
No, it really wasn't, and it wasn't the worst ever. By a long shot, but I think the 1 year it took us 12 minutes to distribute tickets through the ticket draw. So we were quite beyond that last night, but not the Romeo days. But nonetheless, a lot of people came out. They did have the ticket draw because of the number of season ticket holders they had and the number of tickets they received for the sectional. So they didn't match up. So they, just in case everybody showed up. But I think a lot of people will be buying that Friday night ticket for $6 rather than the Tuesday night, trying to get there in time to see a couple of games that, realistically speaking, should not be good ball games on Tuesday. But you never know.
Completely. And then, of course, Floyd Central in Jeffersonville in 4A. I know they're selling tickets at their school this week and into early next week. Christian Academy, the same. I don't have it memorized for every school. Getting ready to play sectional basketball. But make sure you get out. Get a ticket in advance if you can. If you can't, show up at the door. But it's nice to have that $10 ticket, especially if you're going to go all three nights, that gets you in. You're good to go. You don't have to worry about getting there early. You can just walk right up to the door, get your ticket punched or torn, and go right in. But let's hope that we have, Lee, some good crowds next week to celebrate another great season of high school basketball, and just a tradition. There's nothing like, I was at the girls' semi-state on Saturday at Jeffersonville, and I like girls' basketball. I prefer boys a lot more, just what I grew up watching, but girls' basketball is really good. It's gotten really good here in Indiana specifically. And I was watching those semi-state games, and there's nothing like, I wouldn't have traded the opportunity to watch those semi-state games, those girls' semi-state games, for whatever big college game was on. In fact, Indiana played at noon that day or 1 o'clock that day, and I didn't get to watch that until later on a tape delay type basis. But nothing like watching high school athletes compete with a tournament, a championship on the line. It's just really good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. High school sports in general, you and I have talked, and They're just fun to watch. You never know really what's going to happen, no matter what the sport is, and it's just a lot of fun to follow high school sports, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mentioned the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk a little IU basketball. We'll talk some crazy happenings last night in the world of college basketball as well. We'll also touch on the pairings and high school basketball for a moment with Lee as well. And we'll do that also in this first segment. We've got a contest. You've been hearing about the Big X pizza card we have. It's called the Southern Indiana Pizza Tour card. We are going to give you the opportunity to get one for free. So if you've got Twitter, this is a heads up. If you've got Twitter, you've got it on your phone or you've got it on your computer, you might have that open and ready to send me a tweet here in just a few minutes. So we're going to have an opportunity. It's a value of about $150. We're going to have a chance for you to get one of them for free here in just a few minutes. We'll do that in the first segment. Later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will be with us. Of course, with Alex, we've got the typical IU stuff to talk about. This team continues to struggle. They lose, although competitive, to Purdue earlier this week, and now they get ready for a road game at Iowa. We'll take a look at that matchup with Alex. Later in the program, Lee and I have the Southern Indiana basketball update, which is our way each week of taking a look at the top games, the top performers from the past week. We'll have a game of the week. We'll have a player of the week, and, of course, there'll be some tournament pairings talk. Now that we have those in front of us and have had since Sunday evening when they were released by the IHSA. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Again, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Lee, let's open our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill with just a couple crazy things last night in college basketball. Really none of it involving Indiana or even the Big Ten Conference, but I get home in time to watch the second half of the Duke North Carolina game, which is always a fun college game, no matter who you pull for, if you got any interest or not, to watch. And I don't see Zion Williamson on the floor. And I think, well, you know, maybe he's not. Then I see the score, and it doesn't make, you know, you don't. Then I see the highlight about his shoe busting. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
No, I haven't either. And I'm thinking last night, same as you, I got into the game late. Was watching, and then they show the replay over and over and over again. And I'm thinking, you know, no matter how bad a day I'm going to have today, it's not as bad as the CEO of Nike. Mm. Because if it would have happened to Podunk University playing some other tiny, tiny school, nobody would ever have known. When you have Duke and North Carolina on national television in prime time, and it happens in the first 30 seconds when everybody's tuned in, and the shoe just completely comes apart. You can see his entire foot sticking out of the shoe, and he has, at the very least, the knee strain for the number one player in the country, probably the number one player in the draft. That's not going to play well.
Yeah,
not good advertising.
Absolutely. Of all players in all situations, of course, first off, let's hope Zion Williamson is able to recover from this. You know, there was a story out, I think yesterday even, Pat Forty wrote, Scottie Pippen, NBA great, played with Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls, said, shut it down. Don't take the risk of injuries. You've done enough for the college game. You came to Duke. Prepare for the draft. Get your money. You know, that was Scottie Pippen's message, which Zion Williamson, I think, even replied to that at the Virginia-Duke game and said, no way. Coach K gave me a chance. I want to see what we can do in March. This is a fun year, you know. And thinking about it outside of Zion Williamson, there's no stress, no pressure. He's probably going to get drafted onto a very bad NBA team as the number one pick, likely. At least that was the thought before this potential injury. We'll see if that affects anything. And that locker room's not going to be fun. I mean, you know, he might have a good time. He may have a great year individually. He might, you know, blossom into a guy that's going to be a career NBA star. But it's not at Duke right now. They've got something special going on, and it's awesome. It's a great college environment. So to see him stick with it, and let's hope that sit it down, shut it out mentality doesn't overwhelm him now that he does have, we think, a minor injury. We should learn more today, some sort of knee strain. But let's hope that he's able to return. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, Duke, I hate Duke, you know, whatever. Zion Williamson is a great player. It's going to be really interesting to see what his future holds. Let's hope that some crazy blowout of a shoe in prime time on a national television game doesn't make him have second thoughts about continuing to play the college basketball game and not just thinking about his money.
And ESPN has a roundtable today talking about that very thing. Should he shut it down? The thing I'm wondering about is other players expected to be drafted very high in the NBA draft. Are they also looking at this, watching Zion to see what he does, to see if maybe they want to do the same thing? Maybe call it a season and walk away and hope for the best in the NBA draft. And that was just my phone, wasn't it?
Hard to believe that that would be the opportunity. Hard to believe that would happen, honestly. But our friend Brian Sullivan, your phone going off was our friend Brian Sullivan. And I'm going to read this to you. He said, the previous most noticeable exploded shoe in basketball was George McGinnis. He had the same destroyed shoe, but with no injury in the 1969 Indiana All-Star game. That did not stop him from putting up 53 points and 30 rebounds in that game. We can count on Brian for a great history lesson today. But apparently, George McGinnis had a blowout in an Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game and went on to have a remarkable performance and was not injured. And Zion, of course, immediately out of the game. He was able to walk back to the locker room. I thought that was very much a positive. But that was one crazy happening last night in college basketball. Earlier this morning, getting ready for the show, I get an alert from, you know, CNN or the national news on my phone. And I had to do a double take. Normally you're thinking it's going to be something about President Trump or a happening in Washington, D.C. or something like that. And the notice, the news alert, was that Jim Boeheim had been in an accident last night, I believe, after the game, hit a passenger on an interstate in the Syracuse area, killed the pedestrian, I should say, that was outside of his car for whatever reason on a interstate. And then a second alert came out, I don't know how many minutes after that, that there was no alcohol in Coach Boeheim's system. So his team had a huge win last night. They dominated Louisville, who's been playing so well. And then a tragic thing like that happens. Who knows what was happening with the person out of their car. But just a terrible situation. You go from a crazy shoe explosion with an injury attached to it, perhaps the best player in the country and the number one draft pick this summer, to a completely off the court, just terrible situation for Jim Boeheim to deal with.
Apparently there was some weather in the area creating problems. The car involved that the passenger that was killed was in hit the guardrail, spun, ended up in the middle of the road. The passengers were getting out of the car, according to this report on ESPN. Passengers were getting out of the car, heading to the side of the road. Boeheim saw the car, tried to apply his brakes, swerved to miss the car, and did not see the pedestrian, hit the pedestrian. Just a series of events that are just unfortunate, unbelievable, but really no fault for anyone. No one really, everybody trying to do, I guess, the right thing at that time, and just those circumstances ended up into the death of a man named George Hemanes.
Mm. Yeah, terrible to hear. But you don't expect to get a news alert from a national news source about a college coach unless it's a scandal or a terrible something like that with the things that happened at Louisville. That may have gotten to that level. But, man, to see someone killed and it be a complete accident, our thoughts and prayers to all involved there. Final thing before we get out of this first segment, you've heard us promote, you've heard the commercials for the Big X Pizza Tour card here in Southern Indiana. It's now available. You can enjoy the best pizza in Southern Indiana with a gigantic discount. Special offers from Berno's, Boomba's Tap House, and Sir Dano's in Sellersburg. The Big X Pizza Tour card is valued at $150, and you can buy yours today for only $59 at BigXSportsRadio.com. Now, we only have a limited supply. They've been on sale for about a week, And for the $150 value for only $59, these are not going to last long. So make sure you get yours today. Again, you can log on to BigXSportsRadio.com and make the purchase. And in fact, we've got a couple to give away over the next few weeks on this program. And I'm going to give one today away right now. If you tweet me at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, I'd like you to send me a question for Alex Bozich pertaining to IU basketball that we can read on the air in the next segment to open our interview with Alex. Again, tweet me a good question for IU basketball for Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. If you're the first one that comes in, we will use your question to open our segment with Alex, and we'll get your details from you and mail you a pizza card here in just a day or so. So congratulations to whoever can get that good question to Lee and I first to read in the next segment. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters is voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with much more. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Okay, we're back on this Thursday program. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly here, and we've got Alex Bozich on the line with us. Alex is the editor of InsideTheHall.com and is with us on Thursdays for a segment as we talk about IU basketball each week. Alex, to open up today, we had a contest in the first segment. Whoever sent the first question to you about IU basketball would receive a free Big X Sports Radio Southern Indiana pizza tour card, and congratulations to Paula. She's our winner, so I'll start with her question today. She wants to know, Alex, is Romeo's draft status being affected by Indiana's poor play?
No, I don't think so at all, because the NBA looks at what they can, you know, the potential of a player and what they feel they can do with a player once they get them in to their system and on their team. And you know, everything I've heard, and there's a lot of NBA scouts at various Indiana games, and a lot of them sit kind of right in the area behind where we sit as media, and I've talked to them throughout the season, and they've stayed pretty consistent in thinking that, you know, Romeo's a top 10 pick, if not a guy who can get into that, you know, 7, 8, 6, 5 range, depending on, you know, who picks where. A lot of it's going to come down to team needs and who gets what pick and, you know, if any trades or things like that are made. But I'd be surprised to see him anywhere outside of the top 10 when it comes to this June's draft. And I think he's played, you know, I think a game like the other night really, even though Indiana didn't win, I think that kind of thing helps when you see a guy who, you know, he got knocked down hard 3 or 4 times. Matt, I know you were there watching. Just kind of the punishment he was taking in that game was pretty significant. And also the fact that he threw up right out of halftime into a trash can and then still came back and played. And I think Archie Miller said it best in the post game when he just said he's a gamer. And I think performances like that only help. So no, I don't think Indiana's team success really has a whole lot to do with Romeo's prospects as a pro.
Alex, where does Archie go from here? All the negative talk, all the talk shows are certainly piling on, so to speak, in a lot of cases across the state. He has a couple of recruits coming in that are highly regarded, but he has a contract, obviously, that extends far beyond where we're at right now. But where does he go from here? Will his personality allow him to win back over some of the Indiana fans that he has lost and bring in recruits that he really wants after this particular, actually, two seasons?
Yeah, it's a good question. it's something we talked about a lot, actually, on our podcast yesterday. They had my dad on, and obviously Jared Morris, that co-hosts the podcast, and we talked about it at length, and I think more than anything else, what the hope has to be for Archie Miller and for the Indiana fan base is that this season is an aberration rather than a sign of what's to come. And I do think there are some things about this season that were somewhat out of Archie's control in terms of the injuries and maybe some other circumstances of guys on the team maybe not being a particularly good fit. But I think it's up to him to be able to fix that going forward. And I think this offseason, some tough decisions may have to be made in terms of roster personnel. And I think, you know, while maybe next year's team may not be as talented, I do think that any time you have a situation where your back's up against the wall and maybe you get a different mix of players in and it's a new team, I think there's, you know, reason to think that they can turn it around. The first reason I would say is the Big Ten is not going to be as good next year, so that, you know, should make it hypothetically easier to win more games. But I think more than anything else, it's, you know, I look at this team overall, and I see Romeo, who is obviously a great talent, a great player. And I see Juwan Morgan, who's a good player, probably not an NBA player. And then I look at the rest of the roster overall, and I just have a lot of question marks about most of the guys in terms of what they can become in the future. And so there's going to be some, you know, there has to be some conversations in the offseason to specific guys to say, you know, is this something you want to be a part of? Are you going to embrace kind of what we're asking you to do? Because the fact that this team has played so poorly as it has, and it took them, you know, it basically Archie admitted the other night that since the Nebraska game, things haven't been right, and it took that long for them to actually play like they did against Purdue. I just think some serious discussions have to be had with certain guys, and you have to figure out who you want to keep around in the program, and guys also have to figure out, is this something we want to do? Because you just can't have another season like this and expect to keep the fan base engaged and excited about the future. And that's why he's getting paid $3 or $4 million a year. He's got to figure it out.
And Alex, this is something that we've talked about previously, and it's come up from time to time in our discussions on this show. But when you think about the offseason, whenever this 2018-19 season does come to an end, didn't you tell me, or haven't you said that you would be surprised if there wasn't some sort of roster movement, whether it was a transfer or two leaving the program, or maybe a transfer or two, or someone else coming into the program?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes, and this goes for, this isn't just basketball, this is life in general. This is whether, you know, in a business organization, sometimes you have the wrong mix of employees, sometimes you have, in any walk of life, you have just a kind of a bad, roster in terms of how it fits together, and that's kind of what I was, you know, and talking about when I said when the season ends, it's on the coaching staff to figure out, you know, you're going to have Romeo gone, you're going to have Juwan Morgan gone, obviously Evan Fitzner and Zach McRoberts also graduate, but of the other guys, not only do those guys have to kind of decide what, you know, what do I want my experience as an IU basketball player to be, the coaches have to look and say, you know, each of these guys go down the list and say, you know, what ideally do we want to get out of this player? Do we think this is the right fit for us? And some tough decisions, some tough conversations are going to have to happen. But I guess going back to my point is, I think you can, as a fan or as somebody who follows the team, someone that spends money to go to games, I think you can stomach some losing when you see it building towards something better, right? But if you see consistently poor effort and you see a season in which the team has regressed, you say, hey, what's going on here? I mean, they shouldn't be 13-13 after starting the season 12-2. And so that's where I kind of say it's up to those in charge to figure out how this happened and prevent it from happening again.
Do you see any changes in the coaching staff coming for next year? And I know it would be purely speculation, I'm guessing, at this point in the season, but is there a reason in your opinion, or do you see these guys going, this doesn't look good for the future, I better get out while I can and find another job?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any change there unless somebody wants to leave. And in terms of, I mean, I think we're at least, I think minimum, Archie Miller is going to get 4 seasons in Bloomington to kind of get his guys in there, so to speak, and kind of get his program going. And, you know, I do think there's been a little bit of, you know, obviously people are unhappy with the losing, and I get it completely, but for anyone to suggest that there should be wholesale changes or whatever at this point, I think that's jumping the gun a little bit. I don't think Archie Miller overnight just magically forgot how to coach, and I don't think that he's I think it's too early to say whether or not he's going to work out for the long term. But I do think schematically there's some question marks in terms of kind of what they want to become in the future as a team and as a program. I think offensively, this year has been a pretty big slide backwards, and I think some of it is personnel. I think some of it is only having, you know, really two guys that can score with any consistency. That's pretty easy to game plan for. And so I think some of those things have to be addressed. Whether, I mean, I don't know if that's going to mean that there's going to be any turnover in the coaching staff or if anybody is going to want to leave. If somebody wants to leave at this point, that kind of tells me that they didn't want to be there to begin with, because it's easy to be somewhere when everyone's praising you and saying, hey, you're doing a great job and you're going to bring Indiana back. But then if it gets tough and you want to leave, then that's probably not a guy you want there to begin with.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. We're talking IU basketball. And, Alex, I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but we had some great questions come in trying to win a Big X Sports Radio pizza card, and I want to get to some of them, even though they weren't the winning question to get the free card today. Another good question: do you expect any other, and I know this is hard to answer, but it's interesting to think about, do you expect any other drastic changes besides communication with this IU team? This is going back to what Archie Miller said a couple games ago after the Minnesota game, that drastic changes were coming, called the game a deal breaker. And then I don't know that he backed off those strong words in the Coach Miller show on Monday night before the Purdue game, but talking about communication was the big change. And do you think could there be anything else that he has up his sleeve to try changes-wise with this team in the next game or two, trying to turn this thing around here late?
I can't think of anything that would be anything different than what's already been tried to this point. It's late February. You've lost 11-12. If there was a magical fix, I would think that it would be implemented by this point. So, no, I mean, I think really the thing that I'm looking for the rest of the season is, you know, the fact that, and I don't know if the lack of depth kind of allowed this or just kind of the circumstances of the season on the injuries. I think at times there's been too much leniency on certain guys letting them stay on the court when they're not given 110% effort. And I think going forward, that just can't be tolerated the rest of the year, right? It's got to be the same type of effort that was given against Purdue. And if you see any slippage in that, you got to just bench certain guys, because, I mean, ultimately, if you're trying to build a culture and you're trying to kind of get a program moving in the right direction, you got to have everybody going the same way, right? You can't have 4 guys playing who are giving it 110% and a 5th guy that's jogging back on defense or is doing things outside of the game plan. that just can't be tolerated. And I think one of the problems with this year is that it's been tolerated at times. And like I said, it could be somewhat because of the injuries and lack of other options, but that just can't happen. And that's really, I think, the thing to watch as the season goes along. I don't think we're no longer watching if this team's going to make the tournament or make a run, because I think that's out of the cards. But what you can watch for is who are the guys that are going to lead this thing going forward. It's not going to be Romeo. It's not going to be Juwan. Those guys are going to be gone. It's not going to be Zach McRoberts. Two of the younger guys is going to say, hey, we got to fix this, and we're going to be a part of that. And I think that's what the coaching staff's going to be looking for going forward. And I think that's kind of what the fans' expectation, I think, should be, to play like they did against Purdue every game from here on out. And if guys aren't willing to embrace how to do that, then put them on the bench and just start going down the list. And if it takes going to the walk-ons, then I think that's what you have to do.
Alex, another question we had, this is from Coach Chanley. This was actually on my checklist for the day's interview regardless, so I'm glad he brought this up. Heard a rumor about IU recruiting a junior college shooter. If my memory serves me correctly, that is Sean McNeil, I believe it was his name. And actually, mm-hmm. he's got a tie to the Bluegrass State, to Kentucky, as a high school player, I believe at Cooper High School. He's now playing for a junior college in Ohio. Switching gears to recruiting for a minute, what do you know about him? And is he would he be a recruit for the current recruiting class to come next year, or is he a year away?
He would be for next season. He's a guy that went JUCO for 1 year. He's actually a pretty interesting story in that he signed with Bellarmine out of high school and then basically showed up at Bellarmine, decided he didn't want to be there and left. And then I think went to school somewhere else for a year and decided he wasn't going to play. And then he decided, I guess he was, and now he's at a smaller JUCO near Dayton. And there's been a couple. There was a story written in the Dayton paper that Indiana had inquired, and I think something like 80 schools have been in touch with him. He's picked up a ton of high D1 offers here recently. I know Texas Tech has offered, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. There's just been a lot of schools. I think it's too early to really know where that's going to go, if anywhere. You're kind of skeptical of junior college players. Just in general, you don't know the level of competition. I don't even think he's playing at the highest level of junior college, and I think he's playing at Division II junior college level, putting up some really good numbers, but I think that's in the early stages. But he is a guy that would be available to play next season if that comes to fruition, or if anybody pursues it. But it does seem pretty clear that he is going to be going to a high major Division I school after this season.
Any other names, since we're on recruiting, any other names, players that IU fans can kind of get behind, or wishful thinking and all of that, that maybe haven't been out there a whole lot to this point?
Well, everyone obviously knows about Keon Brooks, so we'll see how that ends up. And then Harlan Beverly, the kid from originally from Michigan, is playing down at Montverde Academy in Florida. He's got a scholarship offer. I think Indiana's in the mix there. And then I think the real thing to watch, and this market really isn't going to take shape until, and I call it a market because that's effectively what it's become, the grad transfer market. After the season ends, I think you're going to see some guys that are available from other schools, maybe looking to move up a level. And sometimes those deals work out, like Nick Zeifloff. Sometimes they don't, like Evan Fitzner. But I think overall, if this roster is going to be turned over and some guys are going to leave, I think they're going to have spots to fill. So I expect them to at least be active there. And the other thing you watch for, and this is also something that could play out once the season ends, you know, coaches get fired or move on to different jobs and guys become available, ask out of their letters of intent. I think there could maybe be a situation like that where Indiana would look at somebody. But still a long time for that to play out, and I'm sure that's, a month or so from now when we get to the off season, I think that's probably one of the main things we'll be talking about on a week-to-week basis.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. Let's take a quick look at IU's next game at Iowa on Friday. Iowa, very solid team. Indiana's going to absolutely, simply put, have to come out with the same intensity level that they did against Purdue to not get blown out in this game. Iowa has had a really solid season, and it's at their place, a tough place to play like most Big Ten road environments are. No way they can find themselves down by a crazy 10-point, 12-point, or more margin early in this one and expect to have a chance at the end.
Yeah, and Iowa's coming off a tough home loss to Maryland, so they're going to be looking to get back on track. And you mentioned it being a tough place to play. I've been there several times. It is a difficult building to play in, and it'll be interesting. I think beyond the Rutgers game, Indiana's not going to be favored in any game this regular season moving forward the rest of the way. I mean, they've got obviously this game, and they got the two home games against Wisconsin and Michigan State, then they go to Illinois before hosting Rutgers to round out the regular season. So we'll see if they can snap the losing streak. But more than anything else, as I talked about earlier, I'm just looking to see how they compete and how they play. Is there going to be a letdown from the Purdue game, or is it going to be the Purdue effort in Iowa City, or is it going to be what we saw in Minnesota? And if it's similar to the Minnesota game, I think it could be ugly.
Alex, have you ever seen anything like last night, the shoe explosion that Zion Williamson had?
No, there was a lot of weird things that happened last night in college basketball. Not only that, Georgia lost after.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Something on the court and got a technical. So, just kind of a weird night overall. But no, nothing. I mean, Zion is. I think everyone's quick to rip Nike, but how many guys that are that size at that weight are putting that much kind of torque or whatever on their movements on the court to where maybe the shoe was fine, but it's just Zion's such a freak of nature that he pivoted and the shoe just gave way. It was really, there was a picture a couple of weeks ago. I forget what it might have been in the Louisville game where Jordan Wara was holding the ball and Zion tried to grab it, and you can see his hand like making an indent in the ball, like he was actually like pushing air out of the ball. I mean, the guy's just an amazing talent, amazing physical specimen. Hopefully he's able to come back and play in the tournament, because it'll be a lot of fun to watch if he is.
Yeah, absolutely. In the Georgia game, I'm glad you mentioned that. Lee and I were talking about kind of the odd things that happened last night or even this morning around college basketball, with Coach Boeheim in an accident killing a pedestrian out of their car on an interstate in the Syracuse area. But the Georgia thing, if I'm right, the game was tied. Were they playing Mississippi State? They were at the free throw line with like 0.5 seconds left in the game. The first free throw was missed. I think it was a two-shot foul, so they still would have had a chance to win the game. But the first free throw was missed with 0.5 seconds. And as the free throw, I think, was on the way, a stuffed bulldog bounces not into the free throw lane but to the shooter's right side, maybe around the three-point line is as far as it made it. They have discussed it, called a technical foul. Tom Crean took to the PA in the Georgia arena and said, knock it off or zip it or whatever. He said, I couldn't make it out. And then they would go on to, I think, win it with the next free throw regardless. But still, just a crazy night in college basketball with Zion and the stuffed bulldog and everything else. So it's that time of year,
I
guess.
I've never seen anything like that. You always hear about there being a chance for a technical foul if the home crowd does something, but how do you even know who threw something or whose fault it was? That to me, it seemed like you at least give a couple warnings before you call a technical in that situation. But I guess that wasn't the case, and that's a tough way to lose a game.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, thanks so much for the chat. Always look forward to our Thursday conversations with Lee and you, and thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right, we will head to a commercial break. When Lee and I come back, we've got our Southern Indiana basketball update. We'll take a look at some of the big performances over the last week of high school basketball. We'll take a look at this weekend's games and really You don't have much to look at beyond Friday. In fact, there have already been a couple big games so far this week, with it being the final season of the final week of the regular season before tournament play begins. And Lee, when we get to next Thursday and you're on the show, we'll be talking about the semifinal matchups and pairings, and it'll be kind of right in the heyday of our season as far as high school basketball goes, so that will be a lot of fun. But we're going to recap last week. We're going to get you set for this final week of regular season play and a lot more with the Southern Indiana Basketball Update that we do each Thursday here on the Hoosier Report. Thanks to everyone. We had a ton of questions that came in over the course of that segment since our announcement in segment one about the pizza card. Congratulations to Paula from Clarksville. She's the winner. We'll be sending you a pizza card free later today, and we hope that you enjoy it. And again, don't forget you can log on if you'd like to purchase one at BigXSportsRadio.com. Back with more, our final segment after this. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
On Thursdays, Lee and I with the Southern Indiana Basketball Update, we take a look at high school basketball in-depth in Clark and Floyd counties, and I think we say this every single week. It's hard to believe that this week, Lee, we are going to be talking about the final week of regular season games, and that pairings discussion is already here with the state tournament just around the corner. We take a look every week at the top performers over the last week or so of high school basketball. We'll make a player of the week from the last week. We'll take a look at the games this week, which really it's pretty light on. I don't think there are any local games on for our teams on Saturday. You want to get those right over with and give your team some time to rest, maybe a little practice on Saturday. Maybe some teams that didn't play at the home side of the sectional will get a practice on Saturday at Seymour or at whatever their sectional location is. So normally that's the plan. So a fairly light week. There have been a couple games already played. We're going to talk about a couple of those here in just a few minutes. But overall, a light week to close things out, but still some big performances over the last week or so.
Yeah, Colby Barnes, the senior star for Floyd Central, saving his best for last, so to speak. Colby had 36 last Friday night, setting his personal best as far as scoring. And then came right back, did it again Saturday against Bloomington North, another 36-point night. Last night against Columbus East, he had 26 points, and he was backed up last night by Jake Heidbreeder with 24. So a good week for Mr. Barnes and the Floyd Central program.
I don't know what it is. We see a lot of good teams and good players. I'm thinking New Albany. I'm thinking Floyd Central and maybe occasionally Jeffersonville from our area go to Columbus East for games. Floyd always plays them on this Wednesday night. It's kind of an odd middle-of-the-week game. New Albany plays them in the afternoon on a Saturday of the girls' sectional semifinals. It's an orange overload when you walk in that gym, and it's a tough place to play. So Floyd Central, it's a big win for them and big for Kobe to have another nice score, and Jake Heidbreeder as well to have another nice scoring performance in that odd gym. I always just get an odd feel. Love Coach Chitty. Love him. Good friend. Odd gymnasium for sure. Tuesday night, another game with Hoosier Hills Conference implications. The Red Devils, Trey Coleman, Will Lovings-Watts, they both had 14 points for the Devils. Darren Starks had 13, Jacob Jones 10, some of the big scores in that game for the Red Devils. And how about this, Will Lovings-Watts, he's come on strong to close the season. He's had some other big moments as a freshman this year. He had a good game against New Albany in the regular season. He's had some points in various games for the Devils. But I felt like in that Ballard game, he had a big performance to help lead Jeff in many ways. And then with 14 the other night, he's coming on at the right time. We talk about Jeff being that three-headed monster. If they're all playing well, they're hard to beat. Talking about Trey Coleman, of course, Jacob Jones, and Darren Starks. But you've almost got to consider Will Lovings-Watts in that group now with some of what he's been able to do recently.
Yeah, you absolutely do, and quite a talent for a freshman or even an upperclassman. The young man knows how to play the game. New Albany had to travel to Bedford North Lawrence on Friday without junior star Julian Hunter, but two players stepped up for career nights as senior Chris Johnson hit for 25 and sophomore Jordan Thomas had 18 to help the Bulldogs pick up the win. Saturday, New Albany raced out to a 16-2 first quarter lead and won big with Derek Stevenson leading the way with 24. Jordan Thomas had 14 in that Saturday night game.
Silver Creek knocked off Cordon Friday. Senior Zane Gross led the Dragons in scoring with 28 points. Cooper Jacoby had 18 and Trey Kaufman 11.
Providence lost in overtime for the third straight game to Brownstown. Hayden Burke had 16 in that one. Sterling Huber had 12.
How about the Pioneers? They're not winning, which is tough, but they're playing New Albany and North Harrison and Brownstown to overtime games. Even though they don't win in many ways, to me that is a win for Sean Smith and his program as they're definitely playing better with the sectional just around the corner. Henryville, Cade Badger, 27 points. He's had a huge season for the Hornets, but it wasn't enough as Henryville lost to West Washington on Friday. Then on Saturday, Henryville clinched their third straight Southern Athletic Conference championship. Badger had 25 points, Weston Allen 17, and Trenton Guthrie 14 for the Hornets in that game. Then on Tuesday, they played earlier this week. They defeated Clarksville, a sectional opponent potentially down the road, with each team having a player who had a big night for Henryville. It was Cade Badger once again, 28 points.
And Clarksville's Davon Fuqua had 30 in that game. Clarksville was coming off a 21-point victory over Borden last Friday. Davon Fuqua had 19, Jaron Starks 12 in that win.
Rock Creek improved their record to 7-16 with a 25-point win over Madison Shaw Memorial. Brendan Kane had 23 points, Ray J. Johnson 17, Ricky Wright 10 in the victory. And to close things out this week, New Washington outscored by South Central in every quarter in a loss on Friday. But Spencer Tye, he had 15, and Jesus Diaz 11 for the Mustangs. Lee, our player of the week this week.
I think it's a no-brainer. Kobe Barnes, 36, 36, and 26 last night, 33-point average.
And let's take a very quick look at games. There have already been some games this week, some of them with big implications. Jeffersonville and Floyd Central claiming Hoosier Hills Conference championships with their wins this week. Thursday games, Christian Academy is at Charlestown. Clarksville is at Lanesville, so two games on the slate tonight. On Friday, Bloomington North is at New Albany. That could be a terrific game at senior night at the Doghouse. Also a good challenge for Jeffersonville as they go on the road to Castle, who's got a 17-4 record. New Washington is at Providence on Friday. We'll see if the Pioneers can get a win. Salem is at Borden, and Silver Creek is at Salem. Our game of the week is Jeffersonville at Castle. Lee, great show today. Thanks for being with me. And look forward to being with you next week in the middle of sectional week.
Can't wait.
We'll wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. Back tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.